Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell. The show is based on my 30-plus years in private practice as a marriage family therapist in Northern California, and I am sharing with you some really important information. This is the second part of a two-part series. The first part was, why do people cheat? What is the reason? What are some of the reasons for infidelity? And how important it is to understand why someone cheated and what was behind it, either as part of your recovery from that infidelity or to add a measure of prevention and to keep your relationship more solid so that it is not vulnerable to cheating. So that was part one. If you didn't listen to it, go back and listen to that maybe first, because it's going to, I might reference it as I talk here. But it's an important part of this affair recovery is understanding why. So now we want to talk about that there was infidelity in your relationship. So that means that you are both hurting. If you think that just the victim of the infidelity, the person who was betrayed, is the only one hurting, don't mistake that, because the person who did the betraying is often littered with guilt and shame, and they feel horrible, and they're watching somebody that they love be hurt tremendously. They're recognizing that they were an idiot, that they, hopefully they're recognizing they were an idiot. That is not always the case. But they are wanting to preserve the relationship. So this second part is about the two of you have said, this is horrible, we're really hurting, it's like we're bleeding here. We don't know how to stop the fighting. We don't know how to step into a different arena to do this. You probably didn't have the communication skills or the conflict resolution skills to begin with, or you hopefully would have done prevention for affairs in your relationship. But when I see couples who are struggling with the aftermath of infidelity, the communication and the conflict resolution is often very poor, and that needs to be stepped up in order to begin recovery. So if you're trying to do affair recovery on your own because you can't afford therapy, or you can't get there, or your job doesn't let you get off work or something like that, go back in my podcasts or go to the KCNR1460.com radio station and access the archives for Dr. Patricia Bay. But go back and listen to the couple's show about communication basics. Listen to the couple's show about conflict resolution. Standing in your truth is another one, and the other one is trust. Those are some very basic lessons that will help you in your affair recovery, and they are already online and waiting for you. They're free. You can access them. You can go to the Anchor app, A-N-C-H-O-R app. It is free and safe. You can download it, and it's real easy to just click on all my podcasts. Type in Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell. You can also access them on iTunes and Spotify. The reason I do these shows and the reason I put them onto podcasts is because I'm trying to help people heal, and not everybody can afford therapy or get to therapy. So this is my gift to all of you to help pass on what I've learned in the 30-plus years I've done this job. And not just a job, it's a calling. I love it. But I want to help people heal. That's why I end my shows with Let's Heal the World 1 hour at a time. I truly believe that. So affair recovery. Get some of those basics down and listen to this now. Go back and listen to all those. Listen to why people cheat and then maybe listen to them all again. And here's one of the most important pieces I'm giving you for affair recovery. You both have to want to. If one person has 2 feet out the door and is not willing to try, not willing to put in the work, not willing to go the journey to affair recovery, it's not going to happen. So when people come into my office, often 10 years after an affair, 5 years after an affair, occasionally it just happened, but often one person wants the other one to just get over it. I made a mistake. I apologize. How many times do I have to apologize? When are you going to get over it? When are you going to stop ragging me about it? Come on, let's just move into forgiveness. Let's put it behind us and go forward. Well, you know what? That doesn't work. And it isn't just about job security for me either. It doesn't work. Every time I've seen couples do that and they shove it under and the other person stops talking about it, it doesn't mean it heals. It's more like a festered wound that gets scarred over, and underneath is a terrible infection, a terrible wound, and then it needs to be lanced open. I mean, it's a really gross metaphor, but think about it. There is a huge infection that got shoved under, needs to be lanced open and talked about, and what happens is it's like it happened yesterday. I don't care if it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. If it was never discussed and never healed, it needs to be brought out in the open. So just shove it under as a coping skill is not a good one. So if any of you are listening to this and that's what you've been trying to do, sorry, it's not going to work. So both people need to be committed. Also, you need to recognize it is not a one or two session thing. It's not a simple, let's just ask her for forgiveness, get down on your hands and knees and say, I'm so sorry, and we move on. It doesn't work that way. One of the important parts of affair recovery is understanding why the affair happened. And understanding it is not about punishing the person. It's about trying to heal what was wrong with the relationship. So when you go back and listen to section one, why people cheat, that is actually a step in your recovery. It is not to use as a club on the person that cheated. It's to say, look what was going on in our relationship. It's for each person to own their part in the dance that created the infidelity. Now, let's be clear about this. The person who actually cheated is ultimately responsible for the choice to step outside the relationship. Because if you had done it in an honorable way with integrity, you would have left first if you were going to cheat. But many people want to cheat and they don't want to leave the relationship because they love their family, they love their spouse, they're just wanting something new. They want the intrigue. They want the romance of the chase. They want the excitement of new. And that's one of the reasons that people cheat. So you've got to understand that that has to be dealt with because that can be an immaturity in that person. Understanding it lets them get into individual therapy and it lets them fix it in the relationship so it isn't going to happen again in the future. So the first step in affair recovery is both people must be committed to the recovery process. They need to know that it can be heavy, difficult, painful, loud at times, emotional. So if you think the person's not going to cry and be upset, sorry, that's not going to be gone either. That's going to happen. It's part of the recovery. So everybody all in, let's do this. One of the most beautiful things I have seen is with a couple that he said to her, I will do whatever it takes to repair this. I will be all in for as long as it takes. I don't care if it takes a lifetime. I don't want to lose our relationship. I have really messed us up. I will own that and I will do whatever is needed to recover for as long as it takes. That kind of commitment to recovery is beautiful, and it's what it takes to begin to step into this road, because it is long and arduous, but it is so worth it. It is so worth it. So right now, if you are working on affair recovery with your partner, and hopefully you're listening to this together, I want you to look at each other and say, are we all in? Are we going to do what it takes? Are we going to get into therapy with a good person who's talented at this? Or are we going to do that and listen to Dr. Patty's podcast? Because that's why they're there. Let them take you through what you're missing in your relationship. If you are the betrayed party, it is not going to help you to beat up the other person. Okay, now if you're the one who had the affair, stop looking at that person and saying, see, I told you, cut it out. That is not productive either. Gosh, I hear that so often in my office when I'm trying to help people recover from this. Person who had the affair, be quiet. Don't say anything. I'm talking to the person who is reeling and bleeding and in pain from this betrayal. If you think that brandishing your anger as a proverbial club is going to make the person pay for what they did, if it's going to alleviate your pain and your angst, it is not. It is not a productive way to deal with this. And in the second part of the show, I'm going to talk to you about why that is not productive. That is actually against what you might be trying to do here. So let's go with that very first step. Take a look at each other and say, are we all in? Do we want to heal this relationship? Will we do whatever it takes for as long as it takes to make this better? And I'm telling you, I have seen people. I have been part of this for many years, and I have helped people find a better relationship that they would not give up for anything, and that they now step into a much more mature way of protecting that relationship from infidelity. There are very specific things you can do to recover and to set yourself up to be happier in the future. And you'll know you've recovered when you actually would not snap your fingers and make the affair not have happened. Now, those of you that are in mid-recovery from this, you're thinking I'm crazy. But that actually can come. You would snap your fingers and say the affair didn't happen. Think of all that you would give up once you recovered. All the communication you've learned, the honor and the learning how to own it and make amends, the person who reestablished their commitment to the relationship and made it work, and now it's stronger than ever. We don't want to give up the really important lessons that are handed to us to make us grow. So that day will come if you work really hard. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to help you learn why beating the other person up emotionally is not productive.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
This is Reading Electric Utility Director Dan Beans. REU is proud to be part of the economic relief to our customers during this difficult time. All REU customers are receiving $250 in credits on their City of Reading utility accounts. In the near future, commercial customers will have the ability to make monthly payments on their outstanding utility account balance for up to 24 months with no interest. REU and the Chamber of Commerce are proud to work together to assist commercial customers as we move forward. Visit readingchamber.com or cityofreading.org for more information or questions related to this important local effort.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are actually listening to me play my deep D, my big D Native American flute, my favorite flute. I play with Randy McGinnis on his CD, The Journey, And that's track number 9, Negohila, which is the Jalagi, the Cherokee word for always. It's a beautiful song, and we play that together. It's pretty priceless. I love it. So if you want to listen to The Journey by Randy McGinnis, you can go to Spotify, Pandora, YouTube. You go to his website, randymcginnis.com. He has 6 CDs, and they're stunningly beautiful. And I thank him for allowing me to use his music on my show. It's very peaceful. So we are talking about a fair recovery. And the first step was, are you all in? And are you willing to do what it takes to work as hard for as long as it takes to make this recovery possible? So I want to give you a really important lesson here. You can actually relearn this lesson again. Chapter 1 in my book is called Love and Fear and the Illusion of Safety. And I want to reteach that lesson and then tell you how to apply it to a fair recovery. Let's look at the idea that at any given moment you can exist in a place of love. This is where you're trusting. You're pretty calm. You're comfortable. If you are a really healthy and developed person, if you are mature, not just age-wise, but if you are mature within yourself, you trust yourself. You know when to trust others, and you have some kind of trust in a spiritual belief, whether it's how the universe works or a religious belief. You put that in any spiritual framework you want, but you recognize that there's more to this earthly plane than just you. So that's the trusting. In a nanosecond, you can be thrown out of trusting and pushed into a place of fear. Fear is where we mistrust. The thing that can throw us as human beings into fear faster than anything is the fear of rejection. Rejection actually is fear of abandonment. So when you feel rejected, as you do when infidelity happens, you often question yourself, was I not good enough, pretty enough, skinny enough? Why did the person want him or her? What's wrong with me? So you feel rejected for who you are, and you feel not good enough. Rejection is actually fear of abandonment. If you don't like who I am, or if I'm not good enough for you, you're going to leave me. With infidelity, you already feel like the person left. They gave their heart away, or they gave their body away, or they gave both away. Okay? So infidelity, when it is just a heart connection, and emotional, maybe just online, bodies never touched, it is still infidelity. When there is sexual touching as well, there's another layer to the pain. Sometimes infidelity is just sex. There's no intimacy involved. They don't even know the person's name. It's a one-night stand. That is still very painful for people. Now, if you want to compare that to somebody having a year-long affair or a multi-year affair, it can be very different. So there are many types of infidelity. They are all painful, is what I'm trying to say. So the fear of abandonment as part of rejection is very real. The other thing that throws us into fear is the fear of death or the fear of dying. Fear of being dead often has to do with your spiritual beliefs. If you have a foundation where you believe if you're dead, you're okay, that helps you not be afraid of being dead. But many people are still afraid of dying, how they would get to that dead part. And so I often hear in my office when people are trying to recover from infidelity that they feel like they're dying inside. It is extremely painful and very debilitating to your self-esteem. So you're in a place of fear if you're in a fair recovery. And here's what's really important. When we are in that place of fear from an affair, from infidelity, we tend to mobilize our illusions of safety. Let me explain what illusions of safety are. When we are afraid as human beings, we do almost anything to try to feel safe. Instinctual things kick in, like anger or pushing people away or running and hiding. In other words, fight, flight, or freeze can kick in because we feel unsafe. When someone has had an affair, the illusions of safety are interesting, and they usually look like this. Now, can they be different? Of course. Always in my shows, remember that not everybody fits into the mold, all right? I'm going to give you some generalizations, but there could be some differences. So the illusions of safety that I see people mobilize when they are afraid after infidelity are things like this. I am now going to be hyper aware of everything you say and do. every time you pick up your phone, every time you look distracted, if you're 2 minutes late from work, if you're I'm blocked out of your social media account. And remember that in Why People Cheat, I really recommend that people have full transparency in their email, Facebook, social media, Instagram, Snapchat, all that stuff, and texting, that you are not locked out of each other's phones. And that needs to be part of your fair recovery. So remember that. But in your illusion of safety, you're trying to be way on top, be super hyper vigilant, which means you notice absolutely everything. And the reason for this is because the offended party, the one who was betrayed, does not want to be taken unaware again. They feel like they were made a fool of. Long time in history, it was called being cuckolded, which meant that you were a fool, that somebody was not fully in the relationship they were with you. So your hypervigilance has to do with, I don't want to be taken unaware again. I don't want to be made a fool of. I will notice if you so much as breathe different. I had one woman in my office that used, after the affair, she used to watch her husband get dressed. She wanted to see what he wore, what underwear he put on, whether he took a shower or not, how long of a shower he took, whether he shaved or not, whether he wore his good socks, not the ones with holes in them. She was micromanaging in her brain every little thing he did because she didn't want to be taken unaware. The other thing is, once someone has had an affair, it can be really hard to be intimate again with them. And sexual intimacy, sure, I'm talking about that, but I'm also talking about allowing them back into your arms. And it's really weird because when you are the person who's been betrayed, there's a part of you who desperately wants the person in your arms and you want to cling to them and have them tell you they love you and they'll never leave and you're all they want and you want to make love with them, but you hate them at the same time. So there's a push-pull. Get away from me. I hate you. No, come here. I don't want to lose you. And it's kind of crazy-making. It makes you feel crazy and it makes the other person feel crazy, but it is all part of the fear. I'm afraid to get close to you, but I'm afraid you're going to leave, but I need to get close to you, but I don't want to let you close to you because I hate close to me because I hate you right now. That's very chaotic and very difficult, but it's very real. So if you're looking at your partner right now saying, yeah, you do that, cut it out. If cut it out worked, then, you know, I'd be teaching my interns to say, just stop it. It doesn't work. We have to work through the emotions that are creating that fear. So the other thing people do with illusions of safety is they push the person away. They're mad. They're hurt. They don't want to let the person close because it feels like if you let them close again, they could do it all over again. I can't trust you. So you strong arm the person. You push them far away and you think that's going to make you feel safe. The illusion is that if you hurt me again, it won't hurt as bad this time. For starters, I'll be braced for the punch. You'll not take me unaware. I'll be ready for it because I'm being hypervigilant to everything you do or say. And I am going to push you away and punish you and keep you away because I don't like you right now and I feel really rejected by you. The problem with that illusion is if you are trying to fix this relationship, it is actually doing the exact opposite of what you need. What you are wanting is to bring your person close to you and repair what's gone wrong. And if you're pushing them away and strong-arming them, it doesn't work. You're pushing them away. It's not what you're saying you want. So at the start of this show, I asked you, are you all in for recovery? Are you both all in? Do you want to fix this relationship? Do you want to preserve it? Do you want to save it? Now, you might be doing it just for the kids. Kids are important. It might be worth it for you to put some time and energy into saving this family for your children. This could be good. All right, so when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about how to handle somebody's fear. It's really important, so stay tuned.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name, knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Don't distance yourself from your goals. At Shasta College, you can earn transfer-ready credits from the comfort of your couch or get job-ready for that high-demand career with convenient, cost-effective classes that work for you. Register now for fall classes. The semester starts August 17th, and now is the perfect time to take control of your future. Visit our website at shastacollege.edu or call 242-7500. Start your tomorrow today at Shasta College.
I'm Lee Hole.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are listening to A Fair Recovery. This is the second part of a two-part series. Last show was Why Do People Cheat? Understanding it helps you recover and helps you with prevention if you've never had infidelity in your relationship. So today we're talking about a fair recovery. In the last segment, I was teaching you the difference between love and fear. And what's really important is for you to understand what are the illusions of safety that you mobilize to try and feel safe as you're in a fair recovery. So here's a really important part of the lesson. Now, before we go on, I want to tell you that this is chapter one in my book, Therapy in a Nutshell. You can buy it on Amazon. You can go to my website. You can actually get it the fastest. Email me from my website. Go to patriciabay.com. Click on email Dr. Patty. Tell me you want a book. You can pay me on PayPal, and I'll tell you how to do that, and I'll stick it in the mail to you that same day. If you go through Amazon, it can take a long time because of the way they're doing distribution now. So email me if you want a book, and I'll get it to you really quickly. So I'm going to give away one of my books today because not everybody can afford the book either, and I'm really committed to helping people heal. So if you need a copy of my book and it will really help you to recover, I'd like to give it to somebody who's committed to working and trying to do this. So you can call the station right now at 530-605-4567. That's 530-605-4567. Talk to my producer, Jared, and he'll take your name and information, and you can stop by the station and pick it up. Or if you live far away, I'll stick it in the mail to you. So if you want my book, Therapy in a Nutshell, call in now. Okay, so let's go back to, you've recognized that you're both in a place of fear. The person who had the affair or the infidelity is full of blame and shame and guilt. The person who is the victim, the person who's been betrayed, is just, their heart's bleeding, their heart's broken. It is extremely painful, extremely painful. So everybody's in a place of fear. The person who is betrayed has mobilized illusions of safety to try and not be taken unaware, to be hypervigilant, to push the person away, to do this love-hate thing. I love you. I need you. Don't leave me. Come close. No, I hate you. Go away. Make love with me. No, no, no. Don't touch me. How can I let you touch me when you were with the other person? So picture that. It's chaotic. It's hugely emotional. It's extremely difficult. So how do you deal with fear in a fair recovery? I want to paint a picture for you, all right? Let's say that this couple is a man and a woman, and the man had an affair, right? And it is not always like that. Remember that. Sometimes women have affairs. Sometimes it's a same-sex relationship. So I'm not saying it has to be this way. This is just an example. Let's say he had an affair. He is recognizing that he made a huge mistake. He had his head far up his, you know what? In fact, I call that a bad case of cranial rectus. And so he needs his head extracted. So he's admitting that. He did something horrible. He hurt the person he loves. He's harmed his family. And he has said, I will do whatever it takes for as long as it takes to make this all right, to recover, to save our relationship, to save our family. But the other person, it doesn't mean that they stop bleeding, that they stop hurting. Their heart is broken. They feel betrayed. They are reevaluating the relationship from every angle. That other person might have thought, hey, I thought we were doing okay. I thought we were both committed to this. And then I find out you cheated. Oh my gosh, didn't our family mean to you what it meant to me? I hear that all the time in my practice, you guys. The person who is harmed says, wait, didn't you feel like I felt that you were committed? Even if, yeah, we had some problems. We're not perfect. No one is. Why did you leave? Why did you throw us away? So that person's fear of being rejected and abandoned, of it happening again, of never feeling safe again or trusting in the person who had the affair again, those are all the person's fears. And they will come out in kind of nasty little ways. If you're better at your communication and you've listened to the communication podcast and the conflict resolution, you'll know that being sarcastic and just making nasty little remarks is not productive. But it's also hard when somebody's really hurting. So let's say you're the guy, you've had the affair, and your woman is saying to you, I love you, I hate you, and she's very fearful. The first thing you're going to try to do is not take it personally. Now, this is a tall order because she's telling you you're a schmuck. She's telling you you purposely hurt her. She's attacking you. She's saying you have no honor and integrity and you're a fool and blah, blah, blah. Here's what it sounds like when you don't take her fear personally. I hear you that I've really hurt you. I hear you that I've harmed our relationship. And I absolutely understand why you're angry at me. I don't blame you for being really afraid right now. I can hear you that you're afraid I'm going to do it again. And you really deeply listen to what she's saying. Instead of going, God, don't call me names. And you know what? I didn't mean for it to happen. And God, when are you going to get over this? How often are you going to tell me that you hate me? God, what? You know, you're really being mean about this. I'm using nicer words than most people use. That doesn't work. For you to sit there and allow her to be afraid is powerful. Now, you can set limits and boundaries. No physical violence. I would appreciate it if you just told me how you feel as opposed to calling me names. You can try to set those boundaries and hope the person can begin to get control and do that. But you're listening and you are saying to yourself, she's afraid. She's afraid I don't love her. She's afraid I'm going to do it again. I don't blame her. I'd be afraid. You maybe even say those kind of things to her. So you try not to take it personally. You listen deeply to what she's afraid of. So that's the feedback. You'll learn that in communication basics. You active listen. You tell her what you heard without your own spin on it, okay? Try your best. And then what you're going to do is offer reassurances. Now, this is really important. Reassurances can only be your truth. They can only be sincere. So let's go back to this guy I'm telling you about. He said to his wife, I will be here for as long as it takes to heal this. I'm committed. This is the biggest mistake I've ever made in my life. You and my family mean everything to me. I'm going to do whatever it takes to repair this. So he learns to not take her fear personally, to let her spout off when she needs to. And she learns how to communicate her fear without calling names, without being abusive emotionally, to say to him, look, I'm really hurting. I'm really afraid. I'm afraid this is going to happen again. I'm afraid you're saying you're committed, but you're not. When we got married, you said we were committed, and then you weren't. Why does your word mean anything? So she's learning to voice her fear without putting a blaming kind of spin on it, without putting an abusive kind of spin on it. And he's learning to listen to her fear. And then the reassurance sounds like this. I hear that you're really afraid I'm going to do this again. Let me tell you, I am clear. You are who I want. Our family is who I want, is what I want. I have really learned stuff about myself, and I'm continuing to learn, and I'm committed to figuring out why I did this and how I can keep it from happening again. But I understand you're afraid. And you hold her. My husband that passed away, Rich, had a really cool thing that he did. He called it, ah, babies. And he would bring me to him and hold me and just pat my back. And he didn't know what to say. So if you don't know what to say, you just hold her and you say, ah, baby, I'm right here. Shh, I'm right here. It's okay. He called that, ah, babies. And it was his kind of joke, but it was also extremely effective if I was ever upset. So when you hear her fear, the reassurance you offer her is directly related to what she says she's afraid of. If she says you're going to do this again, reassure her why you're not. If she says, I'm afraid our family doesn't mean that much to you, tell her what you have learned. If you don't know what to say and you can't say something productive, just hold her and say, I understand you're very afraid. I understand I have harmed you horrendously. I am so sorry that I have hurt you so badly. Please let me just hold you. I hate seeing you hurting like this. And then reassure that you are willing to do whatever it takes to go forward. And here's the key in a fair recovery. I call it consistency over time. When you learn to deal with her fear consistently, she learns to express her fear in a communicative way. You offer reassurance to each other. You are recommitting to what you hold dear in this relationship. When you do that consistently over time, you will truly begin to heal. It's actually an extremely beautiful thing. So let's go back to, you were in a place of love, something happened, and it's important to understand what happened, why the affair happened. It helps in recovery. It helps in prevention if you've never had infidelity in your relationship. But it also helps you offer the reassurance that it's not going to happen again. It also lets you go to your therapist or work with somebody and say, I don't know why I did this. I need to figure it out. That will help you stand more firmly in your relationship, and it will also help the person who is the victim of the infidelity, who's been really hurt by it, recover. And let's talk briefly about the third person in the relationship. You created a triangle. There was another person out there who was probably hurt as well. Being the other woman or the other man or the other person in the triangle is a very painful place to be. You need to be extremely clear with that third person. If you are stepping into your relationship to heal it, you need to cut off all ties with that person. You need to say to them, this was inappropriate. I am committed to my wife and my family, or, you know, whatever. I'm committed to my partner, and I am stepping away from this. You need to block all contact. You need to step away. Now, if it happens to be a person at work, which happens often because the person people have affairs with is the person they're exposed to the most, then you need to do whatever is possible to not have interactions with that person. If you can get a different job, great. If you can't, then you make it extremely clear that nothing inappropriate is going to happen and no intimacy is going to occur between you. That's one of the hardest parts. But that is also how you reassure your partner. I have cut off all ties. I've blocked everything. I have clearly told that third person, we are done. I'm not doing this. I am recommitting to my relationship. I apologize for hurting you or leading you on. It was inappropriate. Please forgive me. I need to be focused on my relationship because I want to save it. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how do you go forward from here? How do you keep working to heal this? And how do you make it different?
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51. In a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
Pacific Justice Institute is pleased to announce the opening of its first office on the East Coast. You see, the office is in the New York City suburb of White Plains and will also serve New Jersey. Folks, the number of religious liberty requests for help from New York and New Jersey have greatly increased.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty, and I am trying to help people with a fair recovery. So last show we talked about was why people cheat. This show is about how do you actually step back into recovering your relationship and healing. So I was just teaching you about the difference between love and fear and how fear and illusions of safety are a really important part of a fair recovery. You need to understand what you're afraid of. You need to understand what are the illusions of safety that you've been trying to motivate and mobilize in your relationship. Those are attempts to try to feel safe, and it is not really what's working for you. It just pushes everything away. And once you realize that when you are trying to repair a relationship, when it has had infidelity, if you do it with your illusions of safety, you are locking yourself in the relationship into fear, and recovery gets harder and harder. So a big thing that I do in my office, it's very different than what a lot of other therapists do, is I try to get the couple to understand what fear is in a fair recovery and how to do it differently. Just shutting it down and hoping it goes away doesn't work. Shoving it in a box and pretending it didn't happen and just be quiet, it's not part of the recovery. Hearing your partner's intense pain and intense fear and really hearing what they're afraid of and addressing those issues, offering reassurance, listening, trying not to take their anger and their hostility personally, and just saying, I understand you're angry. I deserve for you to be angry. I've really harmed us. I'm so sorry I've hurt you. Let me tell you how I know it's going to be different. Let me tell you what I'm doing to learn why I did what I did. Let me tell you what prevention things I'm putting in place so that this doesn't happen anymore. So that brings us to this section of how do we move forward from here? How do we work the affair recovery consistently over time for as long as it takes and go forward from here? These are some of the things that I see work for people. One is accountability. You might have had the freedom in your relationship to be more loosey-goosey with your time or have sections of your day unaccounted for because you had trust. Right now, you need to understand that your trust is broken. There is none. And it's going to take you a while to earn that back. And it's going to take consistency over time for you to earn trust back. One of the ways to do that is with an extremely high level of accountability. I usually tell couples, especially now with cell phones, it's even more possible. A long time ago, we didn't even have cell phones. But if you're going to be more than a couple minutes late, you call or you text. If you're leaving the office and heading home, you text. If you were going to go to the grocery store, but you're stopping by the dry cleaners too, you have a high level of accountability. So in the beginning of recovery, there is absolutely no space of time where your partner is guessing where you were. And this is not to punish you. This is to begin to build the trust. There will come a time, if your partner is trying to grow and develop too, that he or she will say to you, look, for this amount of time, I don't know if it's a month, a year, 5 years, as long as it takes, right? That's our motto here, as long as it takes with consistency over time. That person will say to you, you know, if you're going to be 5 minutes late, I really don't need to hear it because I really am trusting you again. But for right now, there's no trust. So the accountability is going to be super high. If you change your day to look differently than what it was going to look like, you say that out loud. You keep the person informed. And here's the other thing that I find really helps. If you have any contact whatsoever with the person you had the affair with, you have a policy with your partner. I will let you know. Now, this gets really difficult if you have an affair with somebody at work and you have to go to work every day and you can't afford to quit your job or you own the company and you don't want to have a sexual harassment suit. It can be complicated. So you will need to say to your spouse or your partner, these are the things I have in place so as not to run into that person all day long, to not have intimate time with that person. I will make sure I'm never alone with him or her. You can't just fire the employee you had an affair with if you're the boss because that's sexual harassment and that's inappropriate. So there's a reason we say that animals shouldn't mess their own beds, and this is one of the reasons. So offering that kind of transparency and accountability to the harmed victim in the relationship here will really help to build trust again. With any kind of luck, it's somebody that's not in your office and are at your company or whatever, and you can say, I will have zero contact with this person. If I run into him or her in the grocery store, I will tell you, I'm going to say to you, I will not be mean and hysterical or anything like that, but I might nod and say, hello, hope you're doing well, and keep going. If I have that kind of contact, even that brief, I will tell you. You will never have to guess if I have seen that person, even briefly. That kind of transparency and that kind of accountability helps heal the trust. Now, can it be hard? Because the other person can get fearful when you say, I ran into the person at the grocery store. But this is where the other person is learning how to express their fear appropriately. So recovery isn't all about the person who offended, who had the affair. The recovery is also the person who feels victimized. How do you learn to express your fear, express your feelings without guilt, shame, and blame? How can you stand in your truth and say, it makes me feel really upset and angry and sad when you tell me you saw her across the room at the grocery store. I'm really glad that you didn't say anything to her and that you moved away from it and you actually got in your car and left because you didn't want to run into her. I deeply appreciate that, and I'm having a hard time at the moment. That's where you do the babies, okay? That's where you say, come here, let me just hold you. Let me reassure you again. You are who I want. This is what I choose. I am here for the long haul no matter what it takes to recover. You say that softly, say it quietly while you're holding him or her and say, I'm so sorry I hurt you. You cannot say that too much, okay? So if you look at her and go, God, I've apologized 50 times, you just undid a whole lot of what you've done. You need to be able to own what you did over and over again for as long as it takes with consistency over time. And if you think this is intrusive, this is what I'm talking about, that a fair recovery can take time. When you have that full accountability and that full transparency, and you try to make accountability for where you are, what you're doing, to build trust. It's not because you're a little kid who has to ask mommy if you can leave work now and head home. It's not about that. And if you do it with that attitude, you're screwing up. You're going to mess the trust up. If you can say, look, I'm leaving work now. I just want you to know I've got a 10-minute drive home. I'll be there within 10 or 15 minutes. Love you, sweetie. I'm on my way home. Okay? That is transparency. That is accountability. The other thing that you want to do is learn how to stand in your truth. And you can go back and listen to that podcast. When you look at your spouse, whether or your partner, whether you are the one who offended and had the affair, or whether you are the one who was victimized and really hurting from it, when you stand in your truth about your feelings, about your fears, about what you want for this relationship, you are offering the possibility for healing. So is it okay for the person who had the affair to say, look, when you keep chewing me out over and over again, I'm really beating myself up inside. I'm having a really hard time. Could you be mad at me without calling me names? Because that would really help both of us. That's you standing in your truth. That's you setting a boundary with what you need to be your best self in healing this relationship. And it also is speaking to the idea that the two of you need help with your communication and conflict resolution. Again, podcasts that you can listen to that are already done, so that you can begin to move forward and stand in your truth with each other and really learn how to hear each other and offer the reassurances that are needed with consistency over time to begin to heal this. The other thing is to begin to practice radical honesty with each other. Radical honesty is that thing where you don't lie. If you are driving home from work and you say, I'll be there in a couple minutes, but you actually are like just leaving the office, don't do that. Say, I am driving out of the driveway of the office right now, or I am on the freeway, I'm passing that Home Depot over there. Let the person know exactly where you are with radical honesty. If you saw the person in the grocery store and you said, hello, hope you're doing well, and you kept moving, which is a polite thing to say, tell the truth, because they might hear from somebody else, like, I saw so-and-so, see her again, and then you're going to be caught in another lie. You want to practice radical honesty and stand in your truth. It's really, really important to heal this relationship. So make your choices. Get all in on a fair recovery. Recognize what you're afraid of, what your partner's afraid of. Recognize what your illusions of safety are that try to make you feel safe and how those are actually harming your ability to heal, not furthering your ability to heal. Learn how to offer reassurances. Learn how to be consistent over time. Learn how to stand in your truth. Practice radical honesty and accountability. And transparency. You share passwords for social media, emails, texting. You're not locked out of each other's phone. There is no sense of you could be doing something inappropriate or hiding something from me. If the person needs to pick up your phone and look through it, allow it. Because what it will do is offer the reassurance and the transparency that you're looking for to heal this relationship. Now, if all this stuff sounds like way too much work, and you don't want to commit to it, and you want it all just to go away, that doesn't work. You might not be all in to repair this relationship. But let me reassure you with this. Healing after an affair is possible. It is so possible. And it can be the best blessing that your relationship ever had. Not something you'd ever wish on your worst enemy. But eventually when you can snap your fingers and say, I wouldn't give it up for all that we learned from it and how close and how good we are now. It's possible, you guys. It's really possible. So, this has been Dr. Patricia Bay. You're listening to Therapy in a Nutshell. You can access my podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, or the Anchor app, or go to kcnr1460.com and access them in the archives. So, let's go forward and heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.